Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a show. It is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Halloween Eve. Halloween's tomorrow, and Joy Taylor is joining me. Game 7 of the World Series tonight. Get to that in a couple of minutes. Great to be here on a Wednesday when there's a lot going on. Yesterday was the NFL trading deadline. And hope, and it went flat. Bears didn't do anything. Cowboys didn't do anything, Joy.
You were really hoping for that move.
I was really hoping for the Cowboys to make a move. Now, I want to start the show with this. Jerry Jones, Joy, has said he's a great businessman. Great businessman. And Jerry Jones, a year or two ago, had a line. He said, when I look back at my life in business, and that includes football, I've never regretted overpaying for something to get the best thing. But I have regretted going cheap, trying to save money, and then years later I have something I can't sell, I'm not happy with, and it's very limited. Yesterday, Jerry Jones had a chance to get the best safety in football. Jamal Adams is one of the 10 to 12 best players in the National Football League. He's a game-changing talent in the NFC, loaded with great quarterbacks. And they agreed on a first-round pick. Dallas said, we'll give you a first-rounder. You give us Jamal Adams. And you know what they argued over? And you know why the deal never came to fruition? It was over, like, a fourth-round pick. Jets wanted a third. Dallas offered a fourth. Jerry, you jumped over a $20 bill to grab a five. This goes against everything you believe in. This is a special player. Dallas hadn't had a safety like this ever. Darren Woodson's the last one they loved. All respect to Barry Church. The reality is here, this is a difference maker as a player. One of the 12 best guys in the NFL. And by the way, what was interesting is Jerry came out this week and he said he's not happy with how the season's gone. He was hoping they'd be better at 4-3. So that's very interesting. So listen to this.
I thought we would be better. Our record would be better. Just the obvious, we didn't think the Jets game would have the outcome that it had. But I do know this, that I don't know which ones, but I know you're going to get some surprises both ways. But I thought we'd be really better than this, and I'd hoped we would be better than this by three.
Jerry, the reason you're not better than this, for the third straight year, through seven games, you're 4-3, 3-4, and 4-3. There's a reason. Because you're not special at quarterback. Ever since their rookie year with Dak, and I've always said this about rookie quarterbacks, whether they're great or terrible, don't go crazy after a dozen starts. Because nobody knew what Dak was going to do. Nobody knew what Dak could do, his limitations. Then everybody gets an offseason to look at Dak. And since then, he's started through the first seven games, 4-3, 3-4, 4-3. You're exactly where you would be without a special quarterback. And, Jerry, you could have gotten a special player to help your special quarterback. You paid for Jalen Smith, he's special. DeMarcus Lawrence is special. Amari Cooper. You made the move for a special wide receiver last year and went 7-2 with him. Zeke, you paid him special. You had another special player. By the way, look at the NFC right now. Green Bay, 7-1, a special quarterback talent. The San Francisco 49ers, 7-0, special defensive line, special head coaching talent. Look around football right now. Who's dominating it? Special players and special coaches. You're the guy that told us, I only regret going cheap. You agreed to give up a number one pick to get Jamal Adams. And you fought over the compensatory little stuff that doesn't change. I went this morning and I went and looked at your last three third round picks. None of them are special. All of them play. I like Michael Gallup. But he's not a number one. And on your team, there are days he's a number three. And if you count Zeke, he's a number four. So you're exactly where you're going to be with Dak at quarterback unless you surround him with more and more special people. I thought Ed Werder had a great line. He said the Cowboys, had they acquired Jamal Adams yesterday, it would have been the defensive equivalent of last year's Amari Cooper trade. You give up a number one and more for a 24-year-old difference maker, a special player with time left on the rookie contract. I just don't get it. I mean, Dallas is always big. They go big. They don't go small. This is a world-class football player, and you argued over a third or a fourth-round pick. I do not get it. I think he's the kind of guy that can win a playoff game late, that kind of player. Go ask the Chargers what happened when Derwin James got hurt. Their defense wasn't the same. Why do you think the Packers went and drafted a safety and got a free agent safety? Somebody on the back end. It's helped the Packers defense. Why are the Patriots always good at safety? Don't get it. Went small instead of big. Anti-Jerry Jones brand. Let me segue to this. Steven Strasburg was a number one pick in baseball, but it didn't work out perfectly. He came into the sport throwing 100 miles an hour. He was unbelievable, right into the major leagues. But he had Tommy John surgery. They put him on a pitch count. And there's been controversy surrounding Steven Strasburg his entire career. Last night, it all paid off. It all paid off. 8 1/3 innings of brilliance. By the way, it's a bizarre World Series. The home team is yet to win a game. That has never happened in Major League Baseball, the NBA, or the NHL, ever. And if Washington wins tonight, and I'm rooting for them, I'm not rooting against Houston. I'm rooting for Washington. And one of the reasons I'm rooting for Washington is because I like the way they've handled Steven Strasburg and, for the record, Bryce Harper. Mike Rizzo's the general manager and took nothing but crap for pulling out Strasburg in a playoff series for a pitch count. But he had a plan. He's strong. He had a process that he believed in, and he didn't listen to the noise on the outside. And then Bryce Harper. Mike Rizzo got crushed because he wouldn't pay Bryce Harper a bad, ridiculous contract like the Phillies did. So they've made two moves with two special players. Strasburg, they were patient. He no longer throws 100. He's now 93. He's precise. He's a different pitcher. But they were always patient. They were ripped for being patient. And with Bryce Harper, they were ripped for not paying him. And I'm not rooting against Houston tonight, but I like strong leadership. I've been in this business 25 years. I have great management. Other places, not so great. And it seeps into every meeting and every cubicle and every corner of the building. And Washington's an easy team to root for. Not only because their baseball history, but because they never gave up on Strasburg. Like Zion Williamson for the Pelicans, he comes in with fanfare. It's not perfect. He's very good. He has to have Tommy John, and they were patient, and they didn't rush him, and they've always had a belief system, and they stick to it. Same with Bryce Harper. We're not giving him a 10-year contract. We're not paying him $300 million. And you know how baseball fans are. You know, you go to New York and listen to WFAN radio. You got to buy this guy and buy that guy and buy this guy and buy that guy. And that's just tuned it out. We'll be patient with Strasburg. We'll put him on a pitch count. We'll never rush him back. And we're not paying Bryce Harper. And here they are in Game 7. And the exact guy that through all of this should have gotten him into Game 7 did. Steven Strasburg, 8 1/3, absolutely brilliant. Game 7 tonight. By the way, don't be shocked, all hands on deck, if he doesn't tonight pitch for a batter. Because everybody, Game 7 of a World Series, virtually every pitcher will be available. But it's a nice story. It was a number one pick who came in throwing 100. Now he throws 93. Now he's more precise. That was a classic. A classic performance, and I find myself with the Nats, easy to root for. Not that Houston's easy to root against. Easy to root for the Nats to win tonight in Game 7. It's been a bizarre series. History of baseball, hockey, NBA. A road team has not won every single game.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I thought the Cowboys yesterday argued over a fourth round pick. It goes against everything I believe Jerry Jones is. And with that, via the Coward Global Satellite Network, my buddy Nick Wright, first things first. I was shocked. If you look at right now, who's winning in football? Deshaun Watson is special. Aaron Rodgers is special. Niners defensive line is special. It's a lot of special winning. Jamal Adams, you're in New York, is a top 12 player in the NFL. Were you surprised the Cowboys agreed to a first round swap, but they struggled with a later pick? Did that surprise you?
Yeah, I'm surprised the Cowboys didn't do the maybe more impulsive thing and just pull the trigger and go for it. I don't think it's necessarily bad that they didn't end up trading for another star player. The Cowboys' issue is not lack of top-end talent. Their problem is lack of depth and their lack of ability to win when any of that top-end talent is not playing or is unhealthy, or they're missing a left tackle, or they're missing their right tackle, or they're missing one of their wide receivers. I didn't look at the Cowboys and said they're a safety away. I looked at the Cowboys and said they're a team that needs to be able to win when they're not fully healthy in a league where no one is ever fully healthy. And so how do you get depth? You use mid-round picks. You use cheap players on their rookie first-round contract. So I am surprised they didn't go out and do it, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing they didn't go out and do it. To me, the Cowboys need to use that first-round pick in a Belichick fashion this year to acquire a couple second-round picks so they can get more quality second-line players than more superstar front-line players.
By the way, they're 4-3. Jerry Jones said he's disappointed. I predicted 9-7. They feel like what they are with Dak. Seven games, they're 4-3, 3-4, 4-3. That's what they are. Are they where you thought they'd be?
They are where I thought they would be. I think you and I were similar on Dallas, that they would be alive for the playoffs potentially, but not actually make it. To me, they were a 9-win team that if everything went just right, could win 11, and if things went really poorly, they'd win 7. The reason Jerry's disappointed is because they lost to the Jets. I mean, he really did say that, actually. He said, I thought we would beat the Jets, and how could you blame him? Like, everyone beats the Jets, and that Jets loss looks even worse when you see, maybe in the moment, it's like, well, maybe with Darnold, I mean, I've heard Colin Cowherd talk about him since he was 11, maybe he's going to actually turn into, but then Darnold saw Ghost the following week, and they got beat by the Fighting Gardner Minshews the week after, so that loss stinks even more. But the issue for Dallas is they have been building towards this season. And this season in the NFC, there are 5 teams that are without any question better than them. In the Packers, the Saints, the Niners, I would also include the Seahawks and the Vikings. Those 5 teams are clearly better. They're in the argument with the Rams and the Panthers and the Eagles. And Dallas was, you know, I don't want to say all in on this year, but they clearly believe this is their moment. The only reason they're on that left side of the bracket is because of the division that they're in, when they really should be on the in the hunt part of the graphic. So I think for Jerry, it's disappointing. For me, it's as expected.
I know you and I, Anthony Davis is 2 things, great and always hurt. And he's both. I worry about guys. LeBron, the second chapter of his book after first chapter is, oh my God, he's amazing, is second, his durability is absurd. So was Jordan's.
Yeah.
Mostly so was Kobe's. I'm worried that we're 4 games in, and Anthony's had a thumb injury and a shoulder injury. And by the way, this bench is not built to save this team. They need Anthony to play 75 games. He averages 66. Are you a little concerned that he is already banged up 4 games in?
Well, so here's the thing. The Anthony Davis will get some type of minor injury every year. But I think it should be noted that if we throw last year out, because last year he didn't miss games due to injury, he missed games due to the team holding him out due to the trade demand and wanting to retain his value. The previous two seasons, he had played 75 and 75, and in every year of his career, he's played at least 61. And so he has suffered a lot of minor injuries, but no what I would call major injuries. Obviously, the Lakers have no path to a championship without a fully functional LeBron and Anthony Davis at the end of the year. I think you're overstating their lack of bench, however, because Kyle Kuzma's not playing for them yet. Kuzma's either going to go into the starting lineup, not what I would do, or become their featured player off the bench, which is exactly what I would do. I also think they're going to have Andre Iguodala in 6 weeks, which will further upgrade that bench. But the Lakers, for all the concern and the LeBron, and the, is he going to play defense? He's playing the best defense he's played in 5 years. Well, what are they going to do with the starting lineup? Starting lineup still isn't right. Despite all that, check the old point differential. Who's number one in the NBA in point differentials? We sit here today. Oh, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron, in year 17, he's just doing exactly what he said he would do. Deferred to Anthony Davis, averaging 10 assists a game. And AD put up a line last night that no one has put up in the history of the league, 40 and 20 in less than 31 minutes. It's a pretty good start if it's not a perfect start.
When you came, you had multiple offers. I should tell the audience this. Multiple offers from multiple networks. But you chose ours because of relationships. And I'm a big believer. I don't go to these monolithic companies because of the brand. I follow people I trust. I think Kevin Durant made a mistake bailing on Steph Curry and pursuing Kyrie Irving. Forget the brands, the laundry, and the city. I don't care. And I think we've got Kyrie in reports now that he's unsettling to Brooklyn. I can't think of a player who left a dynasty with 3 years left in the dynasty. I can't think of a star that did that. What do you make of these early reports on Kyrie's personality conflicts and weirdness that's unsettling to some in Brooklyn?
Well, listen, the question with Kyrie is always going to be, is the juice worth the squeeze? Because it is a hell of a squeeze, man. And I think the answer is yes. I think Kyrie has shown you he is a way overqualified Robin, and if you give him a Batman, you can win the title. The problem for Brooklyn is he came with a Batman, but the Batman right now has a severed Achilles that he's rehabbing. So now you got to hold on for dear life and hope that the artist doesn't implode. KD in this article calls him an artist. And he is an artist. He says, I don't mess with an artist. And that's great. The problem is sometimes the artist cuts their ear off. And then you're like, oh, well, that's a little too much. And listen, Kyrie's a different cat. The first game of the year, he has the opportunity for the game winner. He tries the old NBA street slip and slide where you fall over and you pull up for the jump shot. People can say he tripped. Man, I know. I would bet any amount of money that's a move he's been working on. But he damn near made it. A couple games later, he has another chance at a game winner. And the game in between, he hit the game winner. He's averaging 38 points per game. If you're going to get that, you're going to have to deal with the fact that during a team photo, you're like, hey, Kai, as was in the story, can you take your hat off? And his response is, nah, bruh. That's what Photoshop was invented for. Like, really? You won't take your hat off? And in Kyrie's defense, he's probably thinking, man, I didn't work this hard to have to take my damn hat off. Y'all figure it out. That's who he is. And the Nets know it. I saw you guys played Kenny Atkinson's interview where he's like, no, I'm the moody one. Smart play by Kenny. Because I guarantee you, Kyrie read that article and wanted to know who's talking. Who is talking about me right now? And Kenny wants to put his arms around him, but he's a different type of guy. But listen, Kyrie chose relationships. Kevin Durant chose relationships. DeAndre Jordan chose relationships. They all wanted to play together. We're going to have to wait a year to see it, and we'll see what the Nets look like on the back end. One last very small point should be noted. Jackie McMullen wrote this piece. She is a brilliant, well-respected, Hall of Fame caliber writer.
Yep.
She also is based out of Boston. And it felt to me a lot like she had been hearing things from Boston over the last couple years about what a headache Kyrie can be, and that informed her in reporting on this piece.
By the way, I've only got a minute left, probably about 40 seconds. Chiefs didn't make a move at the trading deadline. I think Baltimore wanted to get Jamal Adams because they don't know how long Lamar Jackson's going to last, but Patrick Mahomes is hurt, so we're going to go for it. Patriots, Mohamed Sanu, Patrick Mahomes is hurt, we're going to go for it. 30 seconds. Did it bother you the Chiefs weren't more aggressive to fix their D?
Of course. And what the only thing that maybe bothered me more about the lack of activity was the one name the Chiefs were attached to was Le'Veon Bell. You've got to be kidding me. This is a guy who you drive past his house and the roof's leaking, but he's got a $140,000 Mercedes out front, and you drive past the next day, and the roof is falling apart, but the Mercedes now has new rims. You're like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, this is your focus? Where you need another offensive weapon? Listen, the idea is evidently in Patrick and his double-jointed knee, we trust. I'm concerned about the defense, but as soon as Patrick Mahomes comes back, I'm going to pick him to beat your beloved Patriots. I'm certain of it. So listen, we'll just see how it goes. Andy Reid thinks timeouts, challenges, and defense are overrated. We'll see if he's right.
That's funny. Nick Wright, that's why I got a show here. First things first. Good seeing you, buddy.
Thank you.
I love
that. You too. Good to see you, Colin. Good to see you, Joy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, when it comes to the White House and your professional favorite teams, right, you can always tell when there's a house divided because of leaks. Okay, leaks are telling you people are covering their own arse. Remember when Magic and Rob Pelinka were running the Lakers? They couldn't finish a conversation. It made the LA Times. The Clippers trade Blake Griffin. Not a peep. Chris Paul. Not a peep. They acquire Paul George. Not a peep. They get Kawhi Leonard. Not a peep. The Lakers couldn't make a move without it going public. And that tells you people are trying to save their arse and they're protecting their territory. With the Clippers, everybody's in. Doc's in. West. Ballmer. Michael Winger. The players, they're all in. It's a house undivided. Yesterday, the New York Jets, seven different reporters had various stories on players being shopped. Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Adams, Marcus May, a talented young safety, Robbie Anderson. Why are they getting out? Mohamed Sanu goes to the Patriots. It literally doesn't make the news until he's wearing a Patriot jersey. I mean, it never gets out. Don't give me this nonsense. Well, we didn't leak it, and we... All I know is everything the Jets do, somebody's covering their ass. And that's why it leaks. Greg Williams can't stand Adam Gase. Adam Gase can't stand Greg Williams as defensive coordinator. Chris Johnson's an owner, got caught on tape ripping his coaching staff. Jamal Adams is furious because he's an unbelievable player. He's on Twitter yesterday, and he said, they told me they wouldn't shop me. And now they're shopping me. And regardless of who's shopping who, why does it get out? Why would it get out? There's two people on a phone call. If you're Joe Douglas, the GM, and I don't know him, my sources like him, but if you're Joe Douglas, you just say, we'll talk. If it makes the wire, if I see it anywhere on Twitter, it's out. Done. I won't make the move. I'll trade him to your rival. That's all you got to say. I've done this in my life before. I've talked to people. I said, if it makes the newspapers, if it makes the wire, I'm dumping you. The deal's done. That's how New England does business. It makes Twitter, we're out. Atlanta didn't talk, and New England didn't talk. Think about the Clippers. They got rid of Chris Paul. Look, Joy and I wake up one morning, it's like Chris Paul's been traded. I didn't even hear about that. You didn't hear about Paul George. They worked on that Paul George deal for 2 weeks. Paul George was leaving Oklahoma City.
No one was even thinking that was a possibility.
Paul George leaving Westbrook. It would have been our lead topic for four straight days.
Right.
Didn't make the news. Didn't make Twitter. I mean, Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, good God. It's everything. The LA Times might as well have been planted in the Magic's office. Because everybody was protecting their butt and protecting their space and protecting their brand and protecting their image. And so I don't want to hear about this. Joe Douglas talked about it yesterday. He's the new – I don't know this guy. I know people that know him and they like him. I heard he's a great hang, great guy. But this stuff yesterday, there's seven different reporters leaking stuff, and they're legitimate reporters. They're not making crap up. A lot of guys had the same stuff. Jay Glazer was here. He broke the Leonard Williams story. Here's Joe Douglas.
We've fielded a lot of calls on a lot of players. Some players it's been public. Other players hasn't been public. One thing I will say is that on the players that were leaked out today, those weren't players that we were shopping. But where I'm from and what I was taught is when a team calls you, you should always listen to what they have to say.
I totally agree. But then don't call reporters. The stuff gets out when you want it out. Okay, that's the only time stuff gets out. I have had in my career 4 or 5 major stories. We've been recruiting people at FS1 for 3 years. We've been recruiting people here. None of them got out. None of them. We've been going after our rivals' best people. None of them gets out. We make sure none of them gets out. We don't talk. That's when you have well-run management. Stuff doesn't leak constantly to protect your butt. The Jets are embarrassing. That's an embarrassing. Of course, I will give Le'Veon Bell credit. I mean, thank God these Jets players, Leonard Williams, a good guy. Jamal Adams, a great guy. Le'Veon Bell's a good guy. The players have been great in all this. Le'Veon Bell came out yesterday on social media and he's like, hey, let's just be patient. This is part of the business. Let's understand it. It was like, what a grown-up way to handle it as your bosses are leaking everything. It's just nonsense. God, thank God I'm not a Jets fan. How frustrating would this franchise be? Nothing gets out with the Clippers. Nothing gets out with the Celtics. Nothing gets out with the Patriots.
Everything. I experienced being a Jets fan for a year.
Oh, that's right.
A good year, though.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, we're going to play a game of trick or treat. Tomorrow is Halloween. I'll be on the porch handing out produce and cupcakes to the kids. Children love fresh produce. And you go ahead and do Kit Kat. I'm worried about a kid's teeth in America. I am a part of the America that doesn't want rotten teeth. So there's, lettuce wraps is another gem of an idea. So we're going to play trick or treat. We all know Green Bay's good. We all know New England's good. We all know San Francisco's good. But a lot of these teams, there's still like 24 teams in the playoff race. We don't know. It's time for trick or treat. Are they real or fake? Joy, here we go.
All right. The Buffalo Bills, trick or treat?
They're a trick. Okay, they're 24th in scoring. They have not beaten a football team over 500. So think about that. Their wins are over the Jets, the Giants, the Bengals, the Titans, and the Dolphins. I think they're incredibly well coached. Super low ceiling at quarterback. The Bills are a trick.
How about the Baltimore Ravens?
They are a treat. I get a world-class head coach. Can we start now acknowledging John Harbaugh, 10-6 in the playoffs, Super
yes.
Bowl, beat Belichick twice in Foxborough, has made Lamar Jackson now a first-place quarterback. This is a team that has an identity, number one in rushing. They went out and got Marcus Peters. They tried to get Jamal Adams. They're all in. A smart team that does several things well. They're a treat.
In the AFC North, my Pittsburgh Steelers, trick or treat?
They are a trick. I like some of their defensive personnel, but they're 28th in scoring. Come on, stop trying to convince me Mason Rudolph's the real deal. Two of their 3 wins are against winless teams, Dolphins and the Bengals, and they're both tanking. So the 2 of their 3 wins are against 2 tanking teams in the NFL.
In that same division, Cleveland Browns, trick or treat?
I think they're a trick. They're last in turnovers, so they have the most turnovers, the most penalties, the most penalty yards. And here's something disturbing. Despite all these playmakers and despite Nick Chubb, they are 29th in third down offense. That means they're terrible situationally. Penalties, turnovers, penalty yards, bad on third down. They're a trick.
How about the Indianapolis Colts, trick or treat?
There's a lot of things I like about them, but I think they're a trick. All their wins are by 7 points or fewer. This is a team that has real limitations. I know it's fashionable to say they don't miss Andrew Luck. Yes, they do. They're 22nd in pass offense. 18 in total offense, and that's with one of the top three offensive lines in the NFL. Jacoby Brissett is a starter, but he's a low-end starter. He's more Dak than Andrew Luck. They're a trick.
Houston Texans.
They're a treat. Again, they do several things well. They're exceptional at quarterback, at wide receiver. They now have a running game. They have a running back and a receiving running back. When their offensive line is healthy, they've won every single game. Sacks are coming down. They will miss J.J. Watt, but they're fourth in total offense and fourth in third down offense, meaning they're good when it matters.
How about the Raiders?
Raiders are a trick. Bad defense. They can't defend the pass. Here's the Raiders have two big problems. They're not good in the secondary, and they have no pass rush. So if you're playing in the AFC with your Bradys and your Deshauns and your Mahomes and some of these clever playmakers and passers, they just can't defend the pass, and they don't have a pass rusher to speed up the delivery of the football. So the bottom line is they've lost all the good quarterbacks they played this year. Mahomes, Cousin, Rodgers, Watson, they can't beat them.
The Dallas Cowboys?
They're a treat. Never forget this. For all the limitations on Dak, and I think his ceiling is lower, he's been very good late in seasons. Dak is 19-7 in November and December. They're also second in third down defense. So Dak has limitations, but they get your offense off the field.
All right, you can't quit them. The Philadelphia Eagles, trick or treat?
Treat. Five of their next seven. Five of their next seven. Look at those games. At home, including the next three, their schedule works in their favor. They're getting healthier. I think they found their identity against Buffalo. Run the football, play action to their tight ends. I like their coach and their quarterback. I love their structure, and their schedule now gets much more favorable. They're a treat.
The Minnesota Vikings, you like that?
No, I don't like that. They're a trick. 1-6 against playoff teams. Listen, you can't. Mike Zimmer's a conservative coach. Kirk Cousins has a bad half. He'll go uber conservative. They also have the most penalty yards, so they often beat themselves. Vikings are a trick.
The Detroit Lions.
They're a trick. So Matt Patricia is a very good defensive coach. With that, they're last in pass defense. Their defense has fallen apart. They were lucky to beat the New York Giants last week. They got a lead on the Giants. And there were times they were struggling to get him off the field. When you have a defensive coach and are still atrocious against the pass, that means your personnel's an issue.
Yeah, I can guess this one, but the Chicago Bears?
Total trick. Matt Nagy, brilliant coach, have nice backs and receivers. Defensive personnel is outstanding, but they're 29th in total offense. Trubisky has zero touchdown passes in four of his six games this year.
How about the Seattle Seahawks?
They have another problem. They have Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson and a bunch of guys. Pete Carroll's a great coach. Defensively, they don't get sacks, and they can't get you off the field. That's with Pete Carroll's schemes. Seattle doesn't have the defensive personnel to win big games in the NFC with all those great quarterbacks.
So they're a trick. The Los Angeles Rams.
Schedule gets easier at home. Best receiving core. They're a treat. Now, they are one of these teams. They are finding their identity here. Between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Brandon Reynolds and Josh Reynolds and Brandon Cooks, they have four legitimate receivers, eighth in total offense. Schedule gets easier. Offensive line's getting healthier. Watch the Rams. They are a treat, and they're an ascending treat.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I know sometimes I come off as a little bit hard on Baker Mayfield, but I have said this. Being an NFL franchise quarterback is not just about, hey, you're big and tall and can run and throw. Are you a leader of men? And it's the same reason I vote president the way I do. I voted for Obama and I voted for Reagan. I voted for Clinton and I voted for Bush. I don't vote for parties. I vote for somebody I believe when the world's in chaos, you're the unemotional grown-up in the room. I don't want you on Twitter all day. Okay? When I vote for president, I'm not loyal to a party. I'm loyal to adults. That's why if you listen to this show, I love Russell Wilson. I love Brady. I like Breeze. I liked Andrew Luck. It's not some are tall, some are short, some run, some don't. I like Lamar Jackson. I like Deshaun Watson a lot. Why? It's not about tall, fast, short, run. That's not it. I'm looking for a talented guy who's an adult. I vote on my presidents the same way I would hire my CEO, the same way I like my quarterbacks. All my quarterbacks I like have the same personality. All of them. All of them. It's the thing I like about Dak. It's the thing I like about Deshaun. It's the thing I loved about Russell Wilson. By the way, Carson Wentz is kind of a low-key kid. A lot of stuff swimming around him. He doesn't talk. He puts in the hours. So I was never built to like Baker Mayfield as a quarterback. Now, I think he's smart. I think he's fun. I think he's polarizing. He's great for my business. But in college, never forget with a police video, he did nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong, and he ran from cops. His instinct was immaturity and bad judgment, throwing footballs at people during pregame. His instincts, his snap judgment is poor. Comes to the NFL, leads the NFL in interceptions. That's letting go of a ball when you shouldn't. And listen, I'll defend him here. It's really hard to be a quarterback in this league. So the first 16, 17, 18, first 20 starts for a quarterback, I didn't bang on Trubisky until this year. This year I started banging on Trubisky because now I'm getting into 28 starts, 29, 30, 31. So some of the interceptions are not all Baker's fault. And I don't think Cleveland's problems are all Baker's fault. But I'm not built to want Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston as quarterback. I don't like their judgment. I didn't like it in college, and I don't like it in the pros. This whole, my presidents, my CEOs, and my quarterbacks, how do you handle chaos? How do you handle emotion? What are your snap instinct judgments? Can you take a deep breath when the world's falling apart? I look to you to be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson threw a pick in the Super Bowl. Dropped his head, looked up. That's it. That's what I want. So Baker today gets into a kind of a little tete-a-tete with a member of the Cleveland media. By the way, the only people in America that are supporting him are the Cleveland media, and he's already calling them names.
The penalty happened, and we're
the clock's
the
not running.
No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running, and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple.
Were you happy with their drive?
Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Is that a franchise quarterback? It looks like a frat boy. He's a frat boy. I'm not building my franchise. Deshaun Watson, at a press conference, somebody asked him a question. He laid out the playbook. Just look at Deshaun. Look at Tom. Look at Russell Wilson. Look at Andrew Luck. Look at Carson Wentz. Again, I've been critical of Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron's such a super talent that I can live with some of his condescending nonsense. I can just live with some of his stuff. Aaron's so gifted. I mean, you know, there are people that are outliers. You know, it's, by the way, Patrick Mahomes. You don't see this stuff with him. So when I bang on Baker, grow up. You're a franchise quarterback. This is a $3 billion franchise. Snapping it, reporters. Stupidest, dumbest, cop video, running, interceptions, throwing footballs at people. It's just not my cup of tea. And the only people supporting him in the world, Cleveland media. Now he's banging on them.
Well, it's emotional discipline.
He has none. He has no, that's exactly right. He has no emotional discipline at all.
And that reflects, unfortunately, on the field. And you could argue that it didn't if he didn't have as many turnovers as he had. And as you said, you're attacking the very people that are the last line of support that you have. Everyone else is just waiting to pounce on the Browns after the way that they started the season.
It was so funny. I would hear this all the time with Baker. And again, I don't blame him for all of Cleveland's struggles here. Yesterday we did blame pie. 75% of Cleveland's problems are the executives who hired a position coach who then brought in a very difficult personality at wide receiver, then traded away Baker Mayfield's best or second, probably a best offensive lineman. This is not all on Baker. So if his parents are watching, I'm not picking on your son. He has no emotional discipline. None.
There's enough of a body of evidence now that you can safely say that.
I'm right. I won. I won this one. He's going to win games, by the way. Their schedule now is Charmin tissue. They're going to win 7 of their next 8 games or 6 of their next 8 games. I won this. I was right. This is not what a franchise quarterback does. They're falling apart. He leads the world in turnovers. And by the way, you know who leads the NFL in turnovers? Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield. The two guys I said, I don't like their personality for the position. Jameis Winston, 91 turnovers since he entered the league. It's not only number one, it's number one by like 15 turnovers. His bad judgment. Doesn't have emotional discipline. Same with Baker. Baker's a lot closer to Johnny Manziel than any of you fanboys want to admit. Now, Baker's way more talented than Johnny Manziel, but they share the same lack of emotional discipline. I won this one. I won. Okay? I never said he was... I'll play it again. I never said he was going to be a bust. I said he was a much better version of Case Keenum. He can win you games when you give him a bunch of people around him, but he cannot overcome Cleveland's dysfunction. Here's Baker again attacking. I mean, why would you get into this with the last line of defense you have, the Cleveland media?
The penalty happened and we're behind the chains.
The clock's not running.
No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. You want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple.
Were you happy with that drive?
Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
$3 billion franchise. That's your on-field CEO. I just don't buy it. I don't. And he's talented. Not saying he's a bust. Not saying he's a bust. Not saying he can't play. He's going to win a bunch of games. But this is who he is. So he was with the cop video. It's who he was in college. It's who he is in the NFL. It's not my cup of tea. He's not built for me. He's always welcome on the couch. But these outbursts and this nonsense, I was right. And I don't do a show to be right. I always say, my job is to get it right, not be right. That's why I do Colin Right, Colin Wrong on Mondays. When I'm wrong, I say it. But this is what I was petrified of. This stuff. The picks, yelling, the nonsense, no emotional discipline. So there you go. You're too rough on him. No, I'm not.
Well, also, I can see if this is, you know, a fan harassing you at dinner.
Oh, of course.
Or some outlier situation that you don't deal with every single week. But... And I'm not defending the media. Like, we're dorks. Who cares what we think or what we do? But this is part of your job, is talking to the media. You're going to be asked hard questions. And when you're losing, those hard questions pierce you a little more. So be prepared for that. This is not a situation that you're new to or that you shouldn't expect or that's caught you off guard. You have to go into those situations knowing I'm going to be asked questions I don't want to answer questions to, and they're going to bring me back to a place where I lost. So I'm angry about it. Be calm.
25% minimum of your franchise quarterback salary. Now, a big chunk is production. The other thing is, can I trust you to be the CEO of the franchise? You're the face of the if this was a wide receiver, I'm okay.
Right.
Running back, linebacker, I don't care. It's the face of my franchise. He calls all the plays in the huddle. This is the guy you put on billboards. I also don't love his judgment on 20 commercials before you've done anything. I don't love that either, but it's money. He's newly married. They want to buy a nice house. I'm not going to bang on the commercials. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't make myself a target and make proclamations, but I'm not going to bang on him for the commercials. He got married. He's polarizing, when people come up to you and offer you millions of dollars, progressive.
Yeah, the commercials don't bother me. I don't even really care that when guys do commercials, it's what you do. Like, you make money. This is part of the job. But when you're in a situation where you're losing and an entire world is coming for you and you get an opportunity to just calm everyone down and just give an answer that's calm and collected and simplified. And even if you get asked the same question 40 times, just give the same answer. He has the ability to settle all of the disturbance that's going on right now with his words and his demeanor.
Sam Darnold was publicly humiliated by his franchise. Publicly humiliated by the inept New York Jets, the ghost comment. Sam Darnold sat there, took every question for 3 days, and was humiliated by his franchise. When I do an interview with a writer, you know what I do before I do it? I get into the right mindset. Here come the dumb questions. And you just deal with it.